That's what God's all about, even through the good times and even through the bad times. But we know that we're not alone when we begin our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 10 tonight, we're wrapping up Daniel 10. And we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 21, not each verse individually, but that is our focal passage or focal point for tonight. This is the discussion, the final discussion of the cause of the angel's coming, or the reason of the angel's coming. And this is speaking of the angel that came and ministered to Daniel. Not any other event are we speaking or focusing on other than this one particular angel who came and focused and worked with Daniel during his time of need. The specific purpose of the angel's coming to Daniel was namely to impart wisdom on Daniel, to allow him to see the necessary thought, I guess you'd say, or understanding of what the vision means and what the vision is all about. And now we're not talking about any other past visions. We're simply talking about this vision that we began studying in the beginning of Daniel chapter 10. This statement from the angel is most significant because it presents the key to the correct interpretation for the rest of the book of Daniel, meaning chapter 11 and chapter 12. In this prophecy, we'll have its final fulfillment at the end of the 70th week. We've discussed that numerous times. This prophecy that we're speaking of will not be fulfilled. The final end of the prophecy will not be fulfilled until that 70th week. And remember, right now we're in that span. We're in that gap of time until that 70th week will begin. And that 70th week cannot take place until God raptures the church. So as Daniel listened to this vision or this discussion that he had with the angel, he became very grief-stricken. He became very physically strained. And one reason was because of the fact that he saw the final outcome of how things are going to end further along in time to what we are speaking of in our modern day era. But at the same time, he also saw, it was also revealed to him how much more calamity, how much more heartache his fellow Israelites were going to have to face. After all that they had gone through, he still saw that they were going to have to face even more heartaches through the course of time. And so this caused him to fall to the ground. This caused him to be speechless. And remember, once again, you know, this is an 84 and 85-year-old man. He's not in the prime of his age any longer. So, number one, his physical strength was probably not as strong as it once was. So that in itself was something else that was going against him. But then to be overwhelmed with this vision, to actually see how the end of times would be, you know, it had to be breathtaking, mesmerizing at the same time. But then when you think about the physical strain, how many of you ever had I don't like to really use the word nightmare, but a bad dream, a nightmare, and you felt that you were fighting some battle in your sleep, and then when you woke up, you really felt exhausted. You felt mentally and physically drained. Well, can you imagine how physically and mentally drained Daniel must have felt? Because like I said, this isn't the first time he'd been greeted by this angel. This isn't the first vision. He had been called upon at a really young age. And so over the last 60 years of his life, this has kind of been what Daniel does. He interprets visions. And so, you know, God knew that he could place his faith and trust in him because he knew that Daniel would place his faith and trust in him as well. So he used Daniel. He picked Daniel out. Daniel found favor in the eyes of God. But could you imagine the responsibility of having to carry that burden? But that burden that Daniel carried is no different really than burdens that you and I carry. Burdens that are probably sitting on your heart right now. They're really no different. Because, you know, we study in God's word. We know really how the end times are going to be. We haven't had them revealed to us through vision. But we read God's word and we see that these things are going to happen. And we know that it's true because we read it in God's precious and holy infallible word. So we know that these days are coming. So that's a burden in itself. But the burdens that we carry in life are really no different than what Daniel had to go through day in and day out. And what's so great about that is the fact that Daniel knew that he would rely on God and God would see him through. And I hope that every one of you sitting here tonight, no matter what the circumstance of life may be, know that you can rely on God and he will see you through no matter what. So we really have no excuses in our Christian walk to be any less faithful or even more faithful than Daniel. We have no excuse. We should be able to be at least as faithful as Daniel, even though God has not called us out to be prophets, to prophesy, but he has called each one of us to be disciples, stewards of his will. So we're going to look at verse 14 and 15 of Daniel chapter 10. Verse 14 and 15, it says, "Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come." So now I want to break this verse down briefly. So now this is the angel letting Daniel know why he has come to him. Okay, so he says, "I'm going to make you understand what's going to happen to the people in the latter day, your people being the Israelites," okay? And then he says, "For the vision refers to many days yet to come." Now, when we think of yet to come or days yet to come, we may think of next week, next month, next year. But when he gave this to Daniel, this was talking about thousands of years. And who knows how long? Only God knows when that day is going to come. But the angel was letting Daniel know. And once again, we think that this very same angel is Gabriel, the one who had made many stops and talks with Daniel over the course of the last 3 to 4 chapters that we've studied. Verse 15 reads, "When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless." Now, this is Daniel speaking now. So Daniel says, "When he, being the angel, had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless." Dumbfounded. He was overwhelmed with all that had been told to him. Speechless. Had no way, had no strength to utter a word, because what he had been told was devastating. You think about all that he was seeing in this short period of time of what was going to unfold over the course of time. So Daniel was overcome with awe, and he was also overcome with weakness. Now, the reason why he was overcome with awe was the simple fact that the presence of God's angel was there. And like I said, this isn't the first time that he has had this opportunity to be with Gabriel, but would you think that would really ever get old? If Gabriel was to come here tonight, or he comes again next Sunday, or the next Sunday, or the next, do you think we really would get tired of his presence being here? I'd be in awe every time, and I feel that you would be as well. So Daniel was in awe. But then the weakness came because of the bad news concerning his people. That's where the weakness was. The weakness was because of the simple fact he knew that his people had suffered for so many years. And they had already returned back to their homeland, but as y'all recall, their homeland was really no longer their homeland. It would be as if we all left Kershaw today and came back 70 years from now. We know that it would definitely not be the very same Kershaw that we left. And that's what happened here. When his people went back to go and try to start all over again. So, you know, from a human point of view, it really was too much for Daniel to bear. And the prophecy, unfortunately, was true. So therefore, the angel had to tell Daniel. He couldn't keep this from him. He couldn't put that little note to the side and say, "Well, we'll cover that later." God had sent Gabriel to do a job. Gabriel was definitely not going to disobey God. So Gabriel, unfortunately, had to give him this revelation of what was to come, and this affected Daniel deeply. But what's also important is the greatness of the angel's job as a minister and an informant. Came to inform, but at the same time came to minister to, because he knew Daniel was going to be overwhelmed. So he gave Daniel the knowledge, he gave Daniel the vision, but then at the same time he was an encourager to Daniel. Matter of fact, if you would look now at verse 18 and 19, it says, "Then again the one having the likeness of a man touched me." So remember, this angel was very similar to a man in look and in an actual feel and touch. It says, "And strengthened me." Okay, so this angel now, this man has touched Daniel and has strengthened him. And then he says, "O man greatly beloved, fear not." So the angel, this is the angel speaking to, this is Gabriel speaking to Daniel, says, "O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong." Yes, be strong. Now, I don't know how many of you ever participated in sport, whether it be organized or whether it be backyard, whatever. But if you've ever had a coach or someone be with you who gives you a line of encouragement before you step out on the field, you may be the worst team in the league, but if your coach can get you pumped up and can get you going where you need to go with the right words, you'd run through a wall for him. You feel that you could conquer anybody, and he would tell you, be strong, team. Yes, be strong. And you feel like, hey, we can do this. We can go and win this ball game. Well, don't you imagine that once Daniel heard these words, that's exactly how he felt, because I imagine this voice was like a voice that you and I have never heard. I'm sure it was a calming voice, but at the very same time, a thunderous and powerful voice, because this is an angel sent from God to come and be an encourager, to give Daniel information, but at the same time inform him to be strong. Do not fear is what he tells him. And I think over the course of the Bible, do not fear or fear not in some way is used 365 times through the Bible. It's kind of ironic. Sure, it's not. Remember, we don't serve an ironic God. 365 days in a year, and the word fear not is written 365 times in the Bible. So we could read a fear not statement to get us through every day of the year if we chose to do so. So Daniel's been told to fear not. And this is actually the very fourth time in which Daniel has had an encounter with an angel, with Gabriel. And so now what I want to share with you, we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 8. You don't have to turn to Daniel chapter 8. It's only one verse that I'll read. But now what I want to do is talk about the touches of the angel. Now, tonight's message is called The Coming of the Angel and Why, okay? And I know through the course of the last 6 months, each Sunday night's been a different discussion, and some of it's been more like almost like a history lesson, and some's been really more informative in regards to what God's Word is all about. And tonight is really one of those nights. It's not really a history lesson like some Sunday nights have been. Tonight is really applicable for what you and I can do in our lives each and every day. It's not just going to be facts about kings and the rising and the falling of empires. Tonight really can give us insight on what you and I can do to be faithful like Daniel. So the first touch by God was of understanding, or the touch of the angel, but this is from God. God is the facilitator. And of course, we know the word understanding means to have great knowledge. No matter what you do in life, if you've got great understanding of something, it means you have great knowledge of that specific content. And I imagine, of course, all of us here tonight have done many different things through the course of time. Different jobs are probably represented here in this congregation tonight. And all of us have knowledge, or maybe are considered to be an expertise in a area. And so this is what we're focusing on tonight with God, having understanding and having knowledge of his holy and infallible word. Daniel 8:18 reads, "Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep," speaking of the angel, "Daniel was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and stood me upright immediately." Daniel then began to gain an understanding of what was transpiring and what this angel was there for. So that was the understanding. That was the touch of God for understanding. And then the second touch was taken from Daniel 9:21, and this is a touch of unction. Unction. Now, unction is a fervor, a fire, something that you have that really drives you. Do you have the fervor for Christ? And I think on Wednesday nights, that's been a word that's come up numerous times in prayer meeting, is the word fervor, and having unction for Christ, having a desire, and not only having the desire, but being willing to express that unction, to express that desire and fervor for who Jesus Christ is within your life. Daniel 9:21 reads, "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering." Now notice something here, these just two verses alone. Number one, it appears that most of the time when the angel appears to Daniel, what is Daniel doing? He's praying. He's praying. Now we know that the angel could appear at any time. But most of the time, when the angel appeared to Daniel, he was having his quiet time with Christ. He was praying. He was seeking the will of God, and the angel appeared. And then something else that's always very fascinating for me is the fact that these angels appear during prayer time, but then there's always some type of interaction. There's a touch. In verse 18 of Daniel 8, I read, it said, "He touched me, and he stood me upright." So he brought him from his knees to his feet, gave him strength, gave him understanding, and now the unction. He reached me about the time of the evening offering, meaning that right before evening offering, he was literally touched by this angel, giving him unction, giving him fervor, giving him the fire and the desire to do Christ's work, to remain faithful. The third touch was a touch of undergirding. Undergirding. This is actually taken from Daniel 10:10, so you actually are able to look right there at this very verse. Daniel 10:10, where it says, "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands." I'll go ahead and read 11 as well. It says, "And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling." That word upright is pretty important too, because when you think of someone standing in an upright position, you think of somebody strong, you think of somebody robust, you're standing up, you're at attention, you're able to pay attention and focus on what's being said to you. And so this is what was taking place here. Daniel was in a quiet time, he was praying, he was having that one-on-one time with God. The angel appeared, the angel touched him, the angel caused him to be upright, to gather his thoughts, to collect his thoughts. And the word for undertaking is a promise, is a guarantee. And so we know that God has given us the undertaking. He's given us the guarantee. He's given us the promise of life eternal. And this is what he did for Daniel as well. Just like the word undergirding, it also means to bolster, to support. How important is that? We know that God, when he undergirds us, we ask him to undergird us with his word. We ask God to bolster, to support us with his word. And when we ask him that, he's going to do it. He will support us. He will bolster. He will make us strong. And that's why it's always important, once again, that we do study God's word and we hide God's word within our hearts. So in times of distress and times of need, we can call upon the Lord's word, or it'll be revealed, or it can come to mind, and we can be bolstered. We can be undergirded by God's holy and infallible word. The fourth touch was the touch of utterance. The touch of utterance. This is 10:16. Verse 16 says, "And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength." Utterance, the power to speak. At one time, y'all may not believe this, but I really didn't have the power to speak. I would be scared to death to stand up and to talk. Stand in a corner, stand up against the wall, sit at a pew and talk with somebody? Sure, would do it. But then the thought of having eyes on me while I was up here trying to talk, it would scare me to death. I didn't have that power to speak. I would sing and wouldn't be scared to sing, but I would be petrified to stand up and talk. And I can recall the very first time that I stepped out of my comfort zone at Oakhurst Baptist Church the summer of 2012, which was a summer after I had my wake-up call from God. I led a morning assembly with Sunday school, and there was about seven people there. I was scared to death. These people have known me since I was 18 years old. But I was scared to death to stand up and hold a Bible and read from it. Scared to death. Did not sleep the night before. Woke up Sunday morning, that little bit of sleep that I did get, and my stomach was killing me. And all I had to do was read a couple of verses from the Bible and talk about give a synopsis, I guess you'd say, of the Sunday school lesson that was going to be taught that morning. But I remember after I did it, that very first time, I was ready to do it again because God had his hand on me. And God showed me, if you stand up, Michael, and if you do what I need you to do, I'll take away your anxieties, I'll take away your fears, I'll take away your worries, and I can give you all of these things that we've discussed tonight, the touch, the understanding, the unction, the undergirding, and then the utterance, the power to speak. And I'm telling you that he can easily use you if you're willing to give him full reign of your life. Then the fifth and final touch is the touch of undertaking. And this is taken from Daniel 18:19. It says, "Then again, the one having the likeness of man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. and said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." This is undertaking. The one who touched Daniel was an angel, but he was in appearance like a man. But the purpose of this touch was to undertake, was to guarantee Daniel the promise that he would have physical strength once again if he would believe. This is what this was all about. And then Daniel openly admits, he says, "Now I'm tough, I'm strong again." It says, "Peace be to you, be strong, yes, be strong." So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened, is what Daniel says. And he didn't say, "I got a little bit of my strength back." He didn't say, "I felt okay." He said, "I was strengthened." And then he says, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened." So now he's acknowledging the angel and saying, "Speak to me, for you have given me strength. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to hear what it is that you have to say." So looking back at verse 17, prior to Daniel being touched, as we have already said tonight, Daniel was terribly weak and he was unable to physically move. But through his weakness, God sent a holy angel to undertake his faithful servant. How many times have you woken up in the morning and you felt weak, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and you then realized, "I better lean upon God to get me through maybe just the morning process before I can even go out the door"? We've all been there. We've all done that. God is there for the faithful. The way God undergirded, the way God took Daniel and proved to him that he would do what it was necessary for him, he'll do it for you. That very same faithful God that Daniel served is the very same faithful God that we serve. Throughout Scripture, there are many prime examples of God's willingness to undertake his faithful service. And I'm going to give you a few tonight. This is from the Old Testament. This is from Job. Job 23:6. "When he contend with me in his great power, no, but he would take not note of me." So Job here is asking the question, would God really spare power for me? And then Job realizes that he would take note, meaning that he would recognize Job for Job's what? Faithfulness. The psalmist of Psalm 27 wrote, Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" We all have fears. We all have reasons to be afraid. But really, why? We don't believe as strongly as we should. That is what faith is all about. Stepping out, being like Peter and trying to walk across that water. But what happened to Peter as soon as he began to take his eyes off of God, off of Jesus, what happened? He went back under. And that's what happens to us. Every single day when you step out of bed, you put your feet on water. You should be looking directly towards Jesus, letting him lead and guide you. Don't take your eyes off of him. Why would you want to? Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Men and women of prayer and faith are those who experience the divine touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've accepted God as your Lord and personal Savior, you've experienced that divine touch. But what do you do with that divine touch? We experience it, young or old, but we experience that divine touch. And then sometimes over a matter of time, we have a tendency to let it go. We have a tendency to kind of coast instead of pushing ourselves harder and farther along to be more connected with Christ. Such was another man by the name of Moses, who was a faithful leader. Moses says in Exodus 15:2, rather, he says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." I hope that he has become your salvation. He is your saving grace. And no matter what happens to you tonight, tomorrow, next week, or in years to come, if you have salvation within your heart, you are saved by God and you experience this promise. And so this should be your strength. This should be your song, just as Moses proclaimed. Exalt him. Lift him up on high. And then one of the greatest and most familiar, I'd say, promises of God's word found in the Old Testament is from Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is another verse that I would encourage you to jot down on a post-it note or something and put it in your car. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it somewhere where you see it every single day. Put it into your mind. Hide his word within your heart. Fear not. There's one of those, that word again. Fear not. He says, for I'm with you. God is not going to leave you. Even when you do something terribly wrong, he's not leaving you. If you believe in him, if you're a born again child of the one true king, he's not going to leave you. I like that word, dismayed. Do any of you in here tonight ever feel dismayed? Of course you do. But God tells us not to be. Why? Because we have a God. We have a one true king to look to for guidance. He is who we get our strength from. He will always help us. He will always uphold us. And he does this with his righteousness, with the righteousness of his right hand. Just as Daniel was so very weak physically, you know, we too often feel this very same way, not because we've experienced what Daniel's experienced. Our experiences are nothing like his, but at the same time, our emotions and our mentality is still really the same as far as how we respond to stressful times in life. And so when we get bogged down in physical strain, mental, emotional strain, but the worst thing is when we get bogged down spiritually. And you know, when you get bogged down spiritually and you feel like you just can't crack that shell or you can't climb out of that spiritual hole, that's tough. It's hard to deal with. I've been there many times, and I know that you have too. And of course, you know what the devil wants you to do? He knows that you're saved. He knows that you have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, indwelling within your heart. He knows this. But oh, he would love to see you just kind of throw your hands up, cash your chips in, and walk away so that you won't infect any more people for Christ, because he wants to infect them. He wants to take them with him when his reign on earth ends. So he doesn't want you to let your light shine so bright, and he doesn't want you to infiltrate people's lives with the love of Christ. He'd rather you do nothing. So when you feel like you're in that spiritual hole, remember that. That's what the devil wants you to do. That's where he wants you to be. Climb out of that spiritual hole through the power, through the strength of Jesus Christ. From God's own right hand, that righteous hand will uphold you. He'll undergird you. He will get you where you need to be. The need of the hour, the need this very moment in all of our lives, is to experience a touch from heaven. And how great of a feeling that is when you can say that you felt a touch from heaven. And I know that I've only had a few experiences here at this church, but most of my church days have been at Oakhurst. And don't think for one moment that when I talk about Oakhurst, I'm dwelling on that place and missing Oakhurst compared to y'all. That's not my point. But that's where my experiences mostly come from. And I remember a Christmas cantata where we were singing. And my daddy's always had a small choir at Oakhurst, but they were always faithful members who were there and still are there. But I remember one night, one Christmas, we performed a cantata probably 3 or 4 years ago now. And it was a hard cantata, but Daddy didn't want to just give up. He said, well, we're going to do it. We've been practicing this thing all summer long. We're going to perform. We've put in 6, 7 months of time. We're going to do it. And that night when we sang, it was like angels all around us. I heard it. The men beside me heard it. Men that don't really sing out very loud, they heard it, but they felt emboldened, they felt empowered. And then when the cantata was over, we had this look in our eyes. And when the cantata was over, people asked Daddy, did you have Brad Fail, the sound guy, was he playing the voices with it? And I'm telling you, for that 45 minutes was a touch of heaven, was a glimpse with our eyes and a sound of heaven for 45 minutes. And I've experienced that before in my life, but that's something that reminds me of God's goodness. Because, you know, Daddy could have gave up on that cantata. We could have just sang something else and moved on, but we didn't. And many people that were there were blessed, but I was blessed, and guess who else was blessed even greater? God. And that's what it's all about. is being able to use talents, play the piano, and sing, and recognize God's goodness, and pray to Him, and praise Him for all that He does. Not to worry about what man thinks as we sing or as I stand here tonight. Not to think about what you think of me, but all that I focus on is what you get from God's Word, and that should be our focus everywhere we go. What does other people see? What does other people take from my life so that I can lead them to Christ? That's what it's all about. We need that touch of heaven. But you got to want it, but then you got to seek it. He's not going to just throw it in your lap. You got to want it. Seek out the will of God. When we confess our sins, we cease to grieve and quench the grievance of God. And then this new power can wash over us. It washes over our very being. It washes over our very soul. And that's how Daniel felt. He was strengthened by that angel. And what's so great about what Daniel experienced was that it was an angel sent by God. But what we get to experience is not an angel. We get to experience the living touch of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We get to be touched by God. Verse 19 reads, "And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong." God immediately comes unto his own to calm their nerves, their fears, and to grant peace for being faithful servants. God's "fear not" to Daniel gave him strength to his heart and mind instantly. It wasn't a matter of days. It was instantaneous. Just like when you call upon the name of God, it is instantaneous salvation. You don't have to submit any paperwork. You don't have to wait for a reply. Instantaneous gratification through God's miraculous plan of salvation. When God speaks to us, we too can have the same gratifying experience. And so Daniel was now ready to receive the message because he'd been empowered by God. But what did it take for him to be empowered by God? It took him to be faithful. And in our final verse, verse 21, it says, "But I will tell you," this is the angel, it says, "but I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth." It says, "No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince." Now, why do you think it's saying Michael, your prince? Do y'all recall what I said Michael's role was last Sunday evening? Michael's role as angel and protector was over what group? The Israelites. So that's why he's saying Michael, your prince. Because Michael's responsibility was to take care of Israel. So chapter 10, as we conclude, has shown us how Daniel was prepared to receive the final vision. How God prepared him. And you think about that journey over his life of what he had to do to get to this point. All the struggles, all the trials, all the tribulation, being scared for his life, all of these things that he faced for over 70 years, God was still using him. God only has accurate records of the future, and he reveals that future to those who love him and thus prepare to receive it. Now bear in mind, some of these things that Daniel's getting ready to see have already happened. We can read those in our actual history books, not just from a biblical standpoint, but actually from history in itself. So next week when we come back, we will be in the beginning of chapter 11, and we're going to talk about the four kings, and those four kings start with the letter A. So I encourage you to read chapter 11. If you've got a study Bible, I encourage you to read the notes that coincide with those verses. I don't know how much we'll get through on chapter 11 next week, but I encourage you to go ahead and read that in advance. The Apostle Paul stresses the very same fact of what's important about knowing the future. So, in closing, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Here, Paul is stressing this fact of what it means to not be able to see all things, but as Christians, how we are to believe what God has commanded us to believe. So, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11 reads, "But as it is written, eyes has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Daniel was about to receive the prophetic revelation, which was recorded in the Scripture of Truth. And it's healthy for us to bear in mind that God shows his truth. And when he shows his truth, he doesn't show it to the natural and the unregenerate man. But he shows it to the spiritually minded. Are you spiritually minded? Are you unregenerate? Our goal should be spiritually minded in all that we do, every day of our lives. Be spiritually minded. In this very same chapter, verse 14 and 16 reads, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." That's those who have not called upon God as their Savior, the natural man. "But they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Meaning that if you're just a natural man and natural woman, you don't know anything about the Bible, you can't discern what God's Word says on your own. There's no way. You're not spiritually able. You're not spiritually capable. "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." The child of God who is in fear and unrest is not ready to understand the prophetic word. And the heart that does not enjoy peace of God will not enjoy nor desire the word of God. That's important. You're not going to enjoy God's word if you're not at peace with God. You can't. So therefore, we celebrate in knowing that it's through God's spiritual guidance that we can be like Daniel. And Daniel, the faithful servant, is what our goal should be. Be a faithful servant. Willing to stand in the gap so that we can reach this lost and dying world. Being willing to stand up for what you know is right. No matter the persecutions that may come your way, stand up, be faithful to Christ. Remember to have that fervor. God's given you he's undergirded you. He's given you that power. You must learn how to use God's power to further advance his kingdom. Be faithful, be strong, be courageous like Daniel. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings of life. And I do thank you for this opportunity to be in your house of worship this evening. Father, I thank you for everyone here this evening, God, and I pray that you will just continue to pour your blessings upon us, Lord. I know that we're so unworthy, but God, you have promised that as long as we seek your will and as we strive daily to do what is pleasing unto you, God, that you'll continue to keep your hand upon us in all that we do, God. May we always hold on to you tightly, never withdrawing our hand, God. We know that you're there always. May we always keep our eyes focused on you. And God, as we step out of this church today, Father, and we walk across that water, Lord, if we do begin to sink, may we look up and may we focus on you. Father, we thank you for your faithful servant, Daniel. We thank you for using him to give us this mighty book that we can study, that we can learn from, so that we can have further proof of how faithful and how wonderful and how awesome our God truly is. Father, we love you and we praise you. Amen.